We are in 2 Kings this morning, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, and I'm going to read that passage for you. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. Now 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped by the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" Elisha replied, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more, and then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And then he struck the water, and it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho, who were watching, said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down somewhere on a mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" Father God, thank you for the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for passages like this that can be rather amusing and yet so informative. Teach us by your Spirit today and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord had determined that he was going to take Elijah up in a whirlwind. And Elijah knew that time was coming, and it was right on him. I don't know if Elijah knew that the Lord had also imparted that information to Elisha and to all these prophet schools around, but apparently they all knew that their time with Elijah was drawing to an end. And so when Elijah had called Elisha to be a successor, Elisha followed Elijah faithfully. They just went everywhere together, and we find them in this passage again traveling together all the way from 1 Kings, the end, the last chapters there, all the way through 2 Kings chapter 1, and here we are in chapter 2, and this is their last time together. They had worked together even though they were very different personalities and completely different ages. Elijah had mentored Elisha. And one of the questions that we ought to ask at this time as you look at this passage is, who are you learning from? And who is learning from you? Who are you learning from? And who is learning from you? Both of those aspects need to be happening in our lives. Elijah spent time teaching and mentoring Elisha, and Elisha was there to receive, and he was determined to learn from Elijah. And so on these last moments of Elijah's earthly life, here you find them still together, and Elijah goes to Elisha and he says, "Stay here at Gilgal. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." Now, there's quite a debate, some debate, in terms of whether Elisha was just being disobedient to Elijah here. I don't believe that that is the case. I believe, rather, that Elijah was really testing Elisha's faithfulness and his determination to be that next prophet who walked in his shoes and was the prophet for Israel. And so, if that was the case, indeed, Elisha passes the test. He is determined. He says, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I'm not leaving you." He was going to be there right to the very end. And you will remember that even Jesus learned obedience. The scripture says, it talks about him learning obedience from his parents. All of us have to learn that. And so Elisha spends as much time as he can learning from the time he was called by Elijah. He spends as much time as he can learning from Elijah what it means to be a prophet. And so he was not willing to leave. And so they get down to Bethel, and the prophets there's three schools of prophets in Israel. And Elijah went to all three of those different schools, one at Gilgal, one at Bethel, and one at Jericho. And those schools, they were all students of Elijah. And so Elijah's going, he's spending his last moments in his last days making sure he hits those three schools. And he's going to give them one last bit of instruction and all of that. And when he gets to there, the students of those schools come out thinking they know something that even Elisha doesn't know. And they come out in all of their strength and arrogance, and they ask him, "Do you know this?" And Elisha knows it plenty well. But he doesn't want to deal with that because for him, it's not a head issue. It's not something that he just knows. It's a heart issue. He does not want to say goodbye to Elijah. He doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to hear anyone talk about it. His heart is hanging on to his master. And he just tells these students, "Just be quiet. Don't say anything about it." And then Elijah moves from there and he says, "Well, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. You go ahead and stay here at Bethel." And what does Elisha again say? "As surely as the Lord lives and as surely as you live, I'm not leaving you." And so they went on their way. And these student prophets, they come out, they also know, and they say, man, have you heard? Do you know that your master is going to be taken from you today? And again, Elisha just doesn't want to hear anything about this. And this is at the very end of Elijah's last moments here on earth. And Elijah is just staying on task, meeting with these student prophets in three different places. And so I want to ask you, no matter what stage of life you're in, are you still on mission? Are you still doing what you're supposed to be doing? I mean, Elijah knew he was going to be taken. Elisha knew he was going to be taken. The prophets all seemed to know. The students in these three schools, they all knew he was going to be taken. Elijah could have been in his rocking chair, just waiting for God to come and take him. But no, he was on mission. And we can't always do the things that we used to be able to do. I can't even do the things I used to be able to do. But what is the mission that God has for me today? We want to stay on mission as faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Elijah here is testing once again Elisha in terms of his faithfulness to follow him, and Elisha just passes that test. And then they get down to the Jordan River. And the river is always a big test for leaders. It was the test for Moses at the Red Sea. How do we get through this? It was a test for Joshua when they got to the Jordan River and needed to cross into Canaan. And here Elijah and Elisha are at the Jordan River. What will they do at the Jordan River? And what he really wants to know, will Elisha be persistent enough for ministry? And there again, Elisha refuses to leave his side, and they travel together, and they get down to the Jordan River. And when they get there, the students come out from there, and they stand off at a distance from the Jordan River, and they just want to see what's going to happen. Elijah and Elisha, are they going to strike the water and part the water and be able to walk through it? Or are they just going to stand there and let the Jordan River stop them? They're watching to observe what will happen. God had parted the Red Sea for Moses, and God had parted the Jordan River for Joshua. And now here are these two great prophets, one the great prophet Elijah and the other his student Elisha, and they're stopped by the Jordan. Elijah takes off his cloak, rolls it up, and strikes the water with it, and the waters part. They walk through the Jordan on dry ground with water on both sides of them. Now, there was really no cause why they needed to go to the other side of the Jordan. They were in Israel. They went to, you know, the 2.5 tribes of Israel. They went back over there. And there was nothing over there to go to. So why did Elijah do that? He did it to put Elisha in this predicament that once he was gone, what was Elisha going to do to get back to the other side of the river? So they get across. And once they're across, Elijah now has determined that Elisha is a good person to hand this prophetic ministry over. And so he says to him, he no longer says, you know, the Lord has called me here. you stay over there. But instead he says to him, tell me what I can do for you. before I am taken up. Any number of things Elisha could ask for. He could have asked for stuff. He could have asked for Elijah's stuff. Now, I suspect Elijah didn't have much stuff in all of his travels. But Elisha asked, and he said, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." Elijah was really offering a blank check. He said, "You know, fill it in. I've signed it. Just go ahead and fill it in. Tell me whatever it is that you want. What can I do for you?" And Elisha says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." Now, double portion means something in Hebrew Old Testament. The firstborn son was entitled to a double portion of the inheritance. All the other children got equal amounts, but the firstborn got a double portion, Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 27. And so Elisha is communicating to Elijah, "I am your firstborn son. I have followed you. I want to be that firstborn son who carries on your ministry, who carries on everything that you've done. I want a double portion, not of your stuff, but I want a double portion of your spirit. The spirit that motivates you in ministry and empowers you." He wanted that far more than wealth and all of that. And so Elisha makes this big request because he had come to know a big God. And so I ask you this morning, what big things might God be pleased to do in our lives if we would only ask Him? Perhaps God is wanting to offer you a blank check, and He really wants to know what you would put in there. What's the one thing that you really, really want from God? And are you asking for it? Do you know what you want? God offered Solomon a blank check. And Solomon could have asked for knowledge. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for health or long life or any number of things. But Solomon filled in that blank check and asked for wisdom. Elijah offered a blank check to Elisha, and Elisha said, "A double portion of your spirit." What one thing would please God that you want? And Elijah listened to that response, and he says, "Man, you've asked for a difficult thing. That's something that I can't guarantee that I can give you. That's only something that God can give you." He said, "But if you are still with me and you get to see me taken up to heaven, it will be yours. If you don't, it won't be there. You won't get it." So Elijah recognized that indeed God was the only one that could grant that request that Elijah had asked for. And so they go on walking together. And suddenly a chariot of fire and a chariot of horses, just fiery horses and a chariot, comes and just snaps up Elijah. And Elisha sees it. Now Elijah had been the prophet of fire. Remember I told you last week that Elisha was the prophet of grace and Elijah was the prophet of fire. And so he'd been this prophet of fire, and so it's appropriate that a chariot of fire and horses of fire come down and snatch up Elijah. And you will also remember that Elijah was the prophet who was continually threatened with death. King Ahab and Jezebel, they were some of the most wicked kings in all of Israel. And they were constantly threatening him with death. And here's the prophet. and he doesn't even die at the end. He gets lifted up to heaven, and he doesn't even face death then. And this is the prophet, you remember, had been running and running from Ahab, and finally, he's out there, he's exhausted, and he says, "Oh God, just let me die." And God rewards him at the end by lifting him up to heaven without even dying. So he joins Enoch in the Old Testament, and he joins Jesus in the New Testament by ascending into heaven without going through the experience of death. And that pictures for us, or forecasts, the picture of the rapture of the church when Jesus comes again. Now, seeing Elijah lifted up, he's getting his request met, but Elijah is not happy yet. He is grieved by the whole experience. He has just lost Elijah. And the one thing he would want more than a double portion of Elijah's spirit is Elijah. The one thing he would want more. And so he tears his robe, the symbol of Old Testament grief. Just tore his robe. And then he paid tribute to Elijah. He calls him, "My father, my father." Not literally, not biologically, but his father. And then he says, "The chariot of Israel and the horsemen of Israel." And of course, the horse-drawn chariot was the fastest means of transportation and the mightiest force in war in that day. And what Elisha is saying about Elijah is that Elijah did more to win battles for Israel than all of their military might. Never, ever forget in national warfare that our strength is in the Lord. Not in our military. Our strength is in the Lord. Elisha then goes and picks up the cloak that had fallen behind of Elijah. And Elisha wore that for a little while, kind of austere clothes, you will remember, which fell for the sky, but he soon found stuff that would fit him better, that was smaller and simpler for his style of ministry. But he's standing there at the Jordan on the wrong side of the Jordan. And he's got to get back to those prophets. And he's got to get back to where all of his ministry is going to be. And there's water in the Jordan again. So what does he do? He takes Elijah's cloak and he rolls it up. And he strikes the water. And as he does that, he says, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" And he strikes the water and it divides. And what he has just communicated to himself and to the prophets and to all of Israel is that the God of Elijah is now the God of Elisha. Who are you passing your faith to? Why had Elijah taken Elisha across the Jordan? He took him there so that he was in a position where he needed to trust God himself after Elijah was gone. He did it to transfer his authority of ministry to Elisha in the minds of all the student prophets. Well, those student prophets still had a few more things to learn along the way. And they come and they recognize that the spirit, the anointing, the authority of the Lord is now on Elisha. They see what has happened. They see him part the waters and him walking towards them. And so they recognize that, yes, Elisha is our new master. But they're a little bit confused about Elijah yet, and they think the Lord may have dropped him somewhere along the line. Why they thought that, I don't know, but the Lord might have just dropped him somewhere else on a mountaintop or somewhere in a valley, and we should go look for him. And Elisha said, no, don't do that. Don't send them. But they just kept pestering him and pestering him. We might be able to find him. He might be out there. And so they just kept going until it was ridiculous. And Elisha finally permitted them to go and look for themselves. And then when they got back several days later, Elisha rebuked them for their lack of trust in him. When they returned, not being able to find Elijah. But what it did for them was confirm to them that indeed Elijah was gone. And Elisha was their new master. And it was now time for them to follow Elisha in ministry. So I want to ask you in closing this morning three questions. Who's learning from you? Who are you learning from? Has the God of Elijah become your God? The people that have really influenced you and you've looked up to as mentors, has their God become your God? Have you been able to take their trust and make it your trust and your faith in God? And thirdly, if God offered you a blank check and said, what can I do for you? What would you ask him for? And why? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this marvelous story of Elijah and Elisha. I thank you, Father, for the story of him being raptured up and taken up to heaven with a chariot and horsemen and a blaze of fire. Thank you for the lessons, Father, that we ought to be learning from others all the time. Never done learning from others. And we ought to also avail ourselves to others so they can learn from us. For all of us have things that we can teach someone else. I pray, Father, that you would take and help each one of us to make you our personal God. Not just to look up to the faith of other people, but to make you our God, to put our trust in you. I pray, Father, that we would be able to stand before our Jordans and know what to do in that time. As we cross challenges in our life that we haven't met before, but others have met, help us, Lord, to stand up to the challenge with you. Not because we're able, but because you are able. And thirdly, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to seek and to knock and to ask. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to know what it is that we want. And help us, Lord, not to just want stuff and things. Help us, Lord, to desire things that are really important. Like character. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. You to do a greater work on the inside of us. Oh, Father, move among us. Do a great work in us, in our church, in our community, and in our nation. We ask it in Jesus' name.